Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Okay, sorry, folks. I'm having problems here tonight. OCO, Dana Lee, this is Will Bluewater. And without any further problems, let's just talk to Joe Dolezal. You pronounce it Joe Dolezal, right?
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to welcome you to the show. Sorry about all the problems tonight. First, Blog Docs, you know, it's inexpensive, but it's got its problem. Anyway, I want to welcome you to the White Roots Peace Council. And I guess we're here to talk about yoga tonight or whatever else you want to talk about. Go ahead and throw some ideas out there. I try not to interrupt too much. And But anyway, yeah, what do you got to say, Joe? Go ahead. We'll just call you Joe D, right?
Joe D's fine. Joe's
okay.
Whatever's right. Convenient, memorable is good.
That'll work out. So tell us about yourself.
Well, I've been, you know, like my bio says, I actually I have a formal background in mathematics where I attended at the University of Southern Florida. And I have always had for, we could say, like 15 years now, a deep interest in the, you know, the deepest mechanisms of the universe, how that stuff really works. And I guess a long story short, that led me ultimately to certain tantric scriptures that we, you know, we could loosely call like Kundalini Yoga or Tantra Yoga or the Upanishads. It's our kind of like mystical commentaries that are derived from the Rig Vedas of the Hindu people or the Indians. And so I've, you know, I've kind of had a longstanding pursuit and interest in that. And, you know, it's about 10, 15 years now I've been researching that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of revelations, a lot of interesting things that I've discovered. Of course, a lot of similarities between it and other traditions and religions. And yeah, that's kind of just what I've been pursuing for the last couple of years. And it's amazing. It's great. And it's always fascinating, no matter, you know, how many times you read the same scripture or you kind of, you know, meditate on the same thing. You always go a little bit deeper in the onion and discover something new. Just about the world,
right.
The universe itself. So it's amazing stuff.
Absolutely, I know. My first wife passed away, and I married her best friend. And Betty was a fervent believer in the Kriya Yoga and breath work.
Okay.
She
yeah.
had tremendous
oh, yeah,
problems with.
Very bad.
Oh
I
yeah.
Everything to do a breath work session.
Yeah, Sri. I actually appeared to her, which really, you know, surprised a lot of people. So, yeah. Go ahead, continue, please.
Yeah, well, that's kind of been my pursuit, and you know, you said breath work, and that's something that I actually do too, is like a pranayama, which is basically like a series of rhythmic breathing. And there's different ones for different purposes and techniques and different cleansing reasons, but the one that I do is called Bastrika. And it's kind of something I actually do every night almost next to a fire. Very good for cleansing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting meditative technique that she does that I do myself.
Very healing, especially if you've got problems with anxiety and PTSD and stuff like that. And
well, for PTSD, it's actually amazing stuff. I you know, I'm not sure how, you know, how interested your audience is in that specific realm of like trauma and PTSD. But I have been doing some research with some colleagues of mine recently into that whole subject matter about trauma, childhood abuse, sexual abuse, rape. You know, veterans coming back from the war and having PTSD about what it really is. You know, how there, you know, stems a chemical imbalance from a lot of this trauma. And you're absolutely right. Meditation and breath work actually, you know, can, and it has been proven over and over in time, totally renormalize the brain chemistry from these types of traumas that have happened. You know, a really good reference for that if your audience wants to research that. I mean, of course, we can talk about it here, but there's a great book that was recently published on this whole subject matter, and it talks about yoga and breath work as well. It's called... what is it called? The Body Keeps the Score. That's the title of the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And it's a wonderful piece of literature that goes into detail about this and gives examples about, you know, how people are traumatized and they can suppress trauma, they forget about trauma, and, you know, they have like these very strange personality quirks or how people get panic attacks and anxiety attacks for no reason. And then when they go into therapy, then they reveal the source of these anxiety and panic attacks or nervousness and depression. You know, and the therapy, of course, is kind of like a psychoanalytic talk therapy. But the most effective they saw is actually through meditation and through breath work and, you know, proper diet, of course. And then you can really reverse a lot of these traumas once you become aware of them and deal with them. So it's interesting. That's a fascinating subject that I think is in tune right down what we're talking about, but it's an amazing subject as well.
Well, I bet you'd love to tell everybody about the Pyramid Center.
We could talk about the Pyramid Center. The Pyramid Center is a place that I have, a nonprofit organization I started back in 2006, and it's in the by Big Bear, actually, in the San Bernardino Mountains. It's about, I could say, maybe 10-15 miles away from Big Bear. and it's located on about 200 acres of just absolutely beautiful, serene land. It's out in the middle of nowhere, which most people like. Some probably don't if you don't like to be secluded in the forest and in nature. But for those who do, it's Parnon, beautiful. And, you know, the organization is really dedicated to helping people exactly what we're talking about, kind of come in back tune with themselves, whether they have trauma or any kind of PTSD, or if they just simply want to recharge in nature again, then that's what, you know, we offer, is that kind of platform, that truly natural, holistic platform of getting back in tune with nature, you know, just in that state of being. So it's a wonderful project that's been going on, like I said, since 2006. You know, we made a lot of great improvements up there. We've had a lot of great festivals, and we've held a lot of ceremony as well up there. I don't know if you checked out the website, but we've had a lot of native shamans that come up there, and we've done various rituals and ceremonies and fire rituals. And, you know, it's a great place to check out if you're into nature. It's Parnon, beautiful place.
Well, I need all the thing to get out in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Well, in L.A., yeah. I mean, it's worlds apart. It's believe it or not, it's only about 80 miles
right
east of Los Angeles proper. But, I mean, when you're out there, you're, like, in a totally different world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the area. That was actually my service area when I was an executive with the Boy Scouts of America back in the very late 70s. And I lived in near Little Mountain and San Bernardino, a little place.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it was so funny. You can kind of see, when you're on the interstate, you can look over and you can see the two-lane road that goes over Little Mountain. It's just
right.
It's just a little, you know, bald spot. And well, one day, my wife and I were coming up, headed uphill, and we saw this tarantula just marching right up the middle of the road. And so we just followed him and followed him. He was so cute.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There, in that area, there was usually, because there was a time actually that I lived up there, and I still do, you know, go up there and stay longer periods of duration. But this was about 2014, I believe it was, and it happened in 2015. In about May or June, if you stay up in that region of the mountains, you'll see tarantulas everywhere because that's when they spawn and mate. And so, you know, you can come out at nighttime, because they're usually out at nighttime, at least in the area I was at. And, you know, if you get a flashlight at like 7, 8, or 9 at night, and you get a flashlight, you go out in May or June, you could find literally a dozen tarantulas within like 100 square feet just roaming around and that kind of stuff. But it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, when you get that type of intimacy with nature, it's incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're not, I think they're really sensitive to your energy, or if they don't sense fear on you, you know, they're not going to bother with you. A lot of people just walk up and pick one up. But, you know, if you're afraid to do that kind of thing, don't do that kind of thing. But if you're fearless, give it a try and keep first aid kit nearby. And
right.
They make good pets, too. And we had some exciting things that happened up in that area that rogue police officer that went around. What was it? Been a couple of years now since that happened, and they chased him. It was an LAPD officer, black fella, and I don't know, popped a...
Oh, you're talking about that incident in Big Bear, right?
Yeah, they, yeah.
Cornered. Yeah, that wasn't an LAPD officer. I think that was an ex-military guy who killed an LAPD officer.
Oh, right,
and
right, right.
And he fled up to Big Bear, and he got caught in some kind of a cabin where they cornered him and they killed him there somewhere in Big Bear.
Yeah.
I don't know exact location, but I know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess relatively close to that area. That was like in 2012, I think, or 2011.
It's been a while. I basically grew up in Santa Monica from like 61 to 65. Then I moved to Newport Beach for a couple of years. And so, yeah,
yeah.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade you know, in the 60s, you know, that's who I am. You know, it's just I'm sure I have no idea whatsoever what life is like out there, and lived there briefly in the late 70s before I went off to college, and went to Saddleback and Orange Coast College, and started school here in Tennessee in 72, and got a car accident, had to lay off for a little while, and my parents, you know, moved to, you know, back to California and from Oak Ridge. My dad was there. Well, you know, I won't make any bones. He made atomic bombs. You know, he made
right.
in charge of 10,000 gas centrifuges at Portsmouth. And I mean, there were times I'd drop him off at the airport, and you know, and have this attaché case, you know, completely taped shut and handcuffed and taped to him. Drop him off at the airport, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, that was kind of exciting. And but it's crazy. And, well, maybe you know. And you know, let us know when you have to go. But you know, tell us maybe just let Spirit lead you to tell us something, you know, fairly recently that's happened. You know, whatever you feel like. I can't really zero in on anything, and so you know, whatever you feel like talking about for a while, you know, let us have it.
Okay, I can tell you some of my most recent work and research has been kind of. Looking at the correlations between certain yogic scriptures, like the Kundalini Yoga scripture, for example, and then finding relatable evidence or kind of corresponding evidence between that and the Judeo-Christian Bible, for example. Like there's a lot of different elements, but I can give you one example where they talk about like the breath of life, you know, when like they say that God breathed into the, you know, the nostrils of Adam to create him. And there, you know, when you study like Kundalini yoga, for example, then, you know, the breath of life is something separate from like the physical breath that we have. It's actually like the prana, the life force that we have. And it's expressed externally as breath, but it's actually something much more substantial than just a simple act of breathing. It's actually this life force that comes in two forms. It comes in a like a masculine and a feminine form, the female male. And that happens in through the nostrils where, the left side of the nostril is actually the feminine, the what they call Ida, Nadi, which is like, it's basically like a psychic vein. And that's the left nostril where you actually breathe in the feminine energy. And then the right nostril is the masculine energy, which they call Pingala Ida. And, you know, these types of references, when you talk about like how God breathed into the nostrils of Adam through the Bible, they have a lot of corresponding correlation between it and the Rig Vedas, which I thought was kind of, you know, kind of interesting. That we have like these types of issues where they, you know, where they kind of meet hand in hand. And then another one that I, you know, there's literally dozens and dozens of them, but another one I thought was very interesting is, you know, in the chapters of the last chapters of the Bible in Revelation, where St. John writes about how when Ezekiel saw a lot of these prophecies of things that were to happen in the end times, you know, there's a verse in the scripture where he talks about putting his tongue back into the palate of his mouth, and then he went into a trance. Well, you know, most people I don't think ever see the significance of that, but that's actually a very important yoga move. It's called Kacheti Mudra, where you actually put your tongue, you roll your tongue back on the top of the palate of your mouth, and you move it back into the sinus cavity towards the pituitary gland. And it's, you know, it's a very powerful mudra. It's like a way you lock energy in your body from a yogic stance. And then, you know, again, you have that verse which references that in the Judeo-Christian Bible, which I don't know, to my knowledge, nobody's ever referenced that. And I thought that was kind of a cool similarity. So, you know, finding a lot of, go ahead.
I said, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, well, I'm not surprised because you know, this will come from left field for you probably. But a few years back, I ran across a book called, Tony Bushby's book. I think it's called The Bible Fraud. And he pointed out that we're talking a book that's very, very well, probably better researched than any mass market kind of paperback that I ever read. I mean a full 1/3 of it is footnotes. But apparently there were people that went out, spent a lot of time looking at really old records that haven't been alive today for a long time and around the Mediterranean. And but apparently the works of Krishna and Buddha were known to be, because we know a lot about Roman history. Well, we know that,
right,
that their works and their ideas were completely available in Rome, you know, at least 100 years before Jesus was born. So,
right. Wait.
They would have been, it seems Christianity is a mixture. I think the word is syncretism. Don't quote me on that. Sometimes they use words, don't know exactly what they mean. But I can see where, having been familiar, you know, with, but there are some concepts that come from that direction that are in direct juxtaposition to Judaism. And so that's why the rub. But, yeah, those ideas are around, and it's not like, you know, just the Jews had experience, you know, spiritual experiences. It's for everybody, and so,
right.
And it seems
absolutely
like that, you know, that there's a few people out there that are wired up a little bit differently, and so, you know, all we can do really is just talk about our experiences and encourage other people to really just follow the heart.
Absolutely, and I think that's where, you know, that's where a lot of my, you know, ironically, that's where a lot of my research ended, you know, and why I don't research it as much as I used to, because I used to be very big into it, but now, you know, I still read scriptures regularly. One of my recent favorites, and I've actually read the book several times, but it's one of those gems that you can get something profoundly insightful every time you read it, is Sir John Woolfe. He wrote The Serpent Power, and it was one of the first books that talked about a lot of these things in detail, at least in English, in the English language. And, you know, they just put so much precedence on, you know, it's good to know all these theories and to have a comparative analysis between this and other religions and how they really are the same at the end of the day. But more importantly than anything else, practice is what's key here. You know, practice and then your own experiences so that you can actually have a relationship with the divine spirit and not so much just be able to intellectualize what you read. So as of late, you know, we can say like the last 2 years, 3 years, I've really been very heavy more into the practical side of it with, you know, daily meditations, no less than one hour. And then every single day doing like breath work next to fire, you know, for the cleansing and connecting the portals and stuff like that. Because when you're doing breath work, you're actually activating and cleansing a lot of these nadis within your system. And when you do it next to a fire, it helps amplify the cleanse, but you also connect to a lot of different spirits and entities when you make yourself that vulnerable with that practice. So I agree with you 100%. I think it's got to be more practice than anything else, because the theory at some point just becomes irrelevant and you have to become an experienced thing.
Yeah. And not knowing a whole lot about, well, you know, my first experience with meeting somebody that was had been a former Hare Krishna follower, you know, white robes, jingle on the sidewalk, one of those guys back in the 70s. And anyway, we're both, I was attending university, and we're both delivering, you know, big bundles of newspapers. And he was a really interesting guy. He was into, he was really appreciated attempting to influence as much as he could the autonomic things in his body. And was very aware of that. He said he just thought it was really cool. He was a very intelligent guy. And, you know, everybody's got to have a pastime. Was it for me?
But
he was enthusiastic, and I liked it.
It's not for everybody. I think, if, you know, every practice is a little bit different. And I think everybody, depending on their capacities and evolutionary levels and necessities, are going to need something different, you know. Because I think, for the most part, you know, most people, they can, you know, if they know how to just move within themselves and they understand their emotional and spiritual body, then a lot of these kind of intense, rigid exercises don't need to be undertaken. But, you know,
yeah,
they are effective for those who do want that exponential freedom, but it's not necessary. So,
yeah. So, you've covered a lot of ground spiritually. What's got you fascinated right now?
Well, really the practice more than anything else. Because what happens with the practice, at first, it's kind of challenging until you really develop and understand the practice in terms of execution, purpose, and expectation. And you know, now that I have certain practices that I have kind of, you know, read and developed and also been privy to receive from certain types of masters, then I'm more into the practice because you experience stuff, you know. So what happens is, like, you know, if you read something like a book or any kind of book, let's just, you know, get away from the religious part, but let's say you read something in a magazine about, you know, somebody who got to do all these wonderful things and explore all these assets and aspects of life. And then, you know, years later, you start actually exploring it. So you get it from the firsthand perspective of being able to experience these things firsthand. And when you can do that, it's so much more substantial and just kind of, I don't even know the proper word, awe-inspiring, when you can be the first person, you know, the firsthand experience in actually going through with certain things that you thought were only a fantasy, that it's kind of like it takes life of its own. And, yeah, you know, just an amazing, and it's just kind of an amazing way to live out your conscious existence. And because of that, that's what I've been really doing in, you know, in my pursuits, and what's got me really fascinated is more the practice and the, you know, the practical application of that, because I am at a stage where every time I meditate or every time I do the breath work, I always experience something different. And it could be something minute that isn't necessarily, you know, super intense and extravagant, or it could be something very, very intense, like, you know, seeing bright white lights kind of flood your entire body and you get almost like a sense of euphoria and relaxation that, you know, is only really, you know, described in, you know, drug users, for example. It's like, you know, to be able to do and produce these things just by breath or by various types of meditations is just kind of, you know, very cool in my opinion. And it's something to really be pursued because that's kind of what most people go for in this life anyways.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, that's really where I have been, you know, like I said, in the last several months, if not really more like 2-3 years, is in this practical dynamic of spirituality where I'm really, you know, getting deep within myself, trying to understand different layers of myself, trying to intensify the meditation, trying to become, trying to control and become more aware of all the inner potencies of my own mind, and, you know, just really trying to enjoy it as much as possible. So that's kind of, you know, where I am, where I have been, and I kind of plan to continue my journey, as it were.
That sounds like fun. I know I've had some good friends. One of which, you know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, after the Vietnam War, there was a few guys that went into Laos looking for prisoners, and the CIA literally, they were privately funded, CIA literally blocked their way, and it was discovered later that the POWs that they were after indeed had been there, because they built the place that they were working and that they were planting rice, and they put their unit number in the every rice bed has got a lot of levees. And so, but anyway, Gary Goldman, a friend of mine, and you may run into him. He's kind of a, did a lot of work on, you know, military consultant to motion pictures and stuff like that. But he runs in those circles out there, and might run into him. And
what's his name?
Gary Goldman. Sometimes he goes by Gary Goldman Steele. That's his screen name. And yeah, matter of fact, they used to call him the real MacGyver.
Okay.
Yeah, the real MacGyver. Yeah, he was quite the interesting dude. And as far as me, I was so busy doing other things that it wasn't something that got involved with, because it was always doing something else. But appreciate you coming on, and I hope to hear from you again soon. And if you want to tell people how they can get a hold of you, what's the website?
Yeah,
is on this
page. I got two websites, which are my first and last name, but it's just Joe, J-O-E, and then last name DOLEZAL.com. So that's joedolezal.com. And then for the Pyramid Center one, they can just go to pyramidcenter.org. So that's PYRAMID Center, CENTER.org.
And, you know, there is one name that's been rattling around in my head today. I think she's involved with the media, probably not a relative of yours, but Rachel Dolezal?
That's the gal who claims she was black or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I have no relation to her whatsoever.
We won't go there, so. Anyway,
I've heard about that in the media, but I have no relation to her whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm not even sure she's spiritual. Maybe she is in her own way. I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, Jody, thanks a lot for coming on. We'll see you again sometime.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Good night now.
Okay.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. And you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
lie of freedom, the illusion.
There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they'll never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. I can feel you as one with